Last week, in our foundations or fundamentals of faith, part three, we just really practically helped you understand how to call things in and how to go to that next level, how to actually vision that, how to declare those things and get the title deed over what you're believing for. Tina, you need to get hold of those three messages and just meditate those, because as I say, they're what I call the fundamentals or the foundations to what Susan and I have been believing and standing on now for, I don't know, 30-something years. But I know some of you guys have been in that area, but it's for me, it was quite basic, but it's quite profound. And so we're going to get onto that today. So this is part four. I don't know, there's probably a few more parts to this, just getting some back to foundations. We've been on what I call the law of confession. And the law of confession is something that's fundamental to everything we do in our walk of faith. I've said this before, but the law of confession is linked to the law of sowing and reaping and the law of return. So just remind you of this, that a law is a rule or procedure established by authority or agreement. And in the case of a spiritual law, it's established by God Himself to be able for us to transfer things from the unseen realm into the seen realm. Everything that God's got for us is actually not seen. It's invisible. It's not here right now. It's in heavenly places where He's seated. And He's seated there, and Jesus is seated at His right hand, interceding on behalf of us so that we can get hold of those things that's been prepared for us. But we have to do that. We have to transfer them from that realm into this realm. And there's a law established for that. And God uses the same principle Himself. And in Romans 4:17, it says, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So this is the way God uses those principles that He's established. He calls things that do not exist as though it did. And so it's impossible for Him to lie. And last week we spoke about that in order to understand how faith and confession works, we need to understand the believer's authority, what authority you have on this earth, and I said that you're the highest spiritual order on the earth. Mankind is the highest spiritual order on the earth. And so you have authority, and how that authority activates things in spiritual realms. We spoke about what angels do and how they minister to you. We also looked at Hebrews 11 and chapter 1, and we said that now faith is the title deed of things we hope for. Being the proof or evidence of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. That's faith perceiving as real fact what's not revealed to the senses. So faith actually reveals it as a fact. And so what we did that, we took a title deed and we said, now this is your evidence. And the same way, if you had a title deed, if you owned a block of land or something, you've got a title deed over that, and somebody's disputing that with you, you can get out your title deed and say, that's mine. It doesn't matter if you're in Africa or where you're located at that moment. You said, no, my title deed says for that property right there in Australia, that's mine. Because you've got the title deed. There's no different to anything in the faith realm. You've got the title deed. You've got the title deed for it. So we talked about the importance to speak the word only, and as this was the method Jesus used, and how at times it's actually important to say nothing as well. So if you can't speak the words of faith or God's word over a situation, then you need to go back to meditate the word. Meditate it, get it strong in your life until a place it's fully formed and you can declare it. And we spoke about that, and then I said this, and this is a great statement which Charles Capps coined a long time ago. And he said, the word of God conceived in the heart, formed by the tongue and spoken out of the mouth, is creative power. So this is a creative power that you've got available for you. You're the highest spiritual authority on the earth. And it's about time we started declaring what we want. So that was just a bit of a catch-up to where we were from last week. Because we've been looking at the law of confession and how it works, we also need to apply the same word-based confession to our praying. Because I find that people separate the things that they're hoping for to what they're praying for. And I say that many Christians actually pray the problem, which is not right. Many Christians, when they come to prayer, they pray the problem. They pray, you know, Heavenly Father. They try and get the right terminology at the beginning. Please heal me of this cancer. Lord, please remove the debt that I have. They might pray, Lord, can you see the hardship and suffering that I'm going through with this person? Please intervene and stop the situation right now. See, all that is praying the problem. God cannot answer those prayers. Shock, horror. See, we only should pray the answer based on God's word. So the difference is, when you pray, and you pray according to 1 Peter 2:24, you declare this, Father, according to 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes I was healed. See, I'm claiming my healing in the name of Jesus, and I command cancer to go right now. See, the difference is, I'm basing it on the Word of God. My prayer is based on His Word. I'm speaking His Word over the situation, and I'm taking my authority, and I'm commanding that to bow to the Word of God. Never go to God with a problem, because He already knows. He already knows what the problem is. So why go and tell Him the problem again? Because we're in doubt and unbelief when we go and tell Him again what the problem is. And I've heard so many people crying, Lord, don't you know the situation I've got? And here's what the scripture says. Matthew 6, 7 and 8. And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard with many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. He knows, but so many people just go crying to Him and saying, Lord, can't you see the situation I'm in? And He knows. What He wants to hear is your faith-based prayers based on you, on His Word. Now, let's look at what the Holy Spirit's doing for us. In Romans 8, 27, this is what the Holy Spirit's doing. Now, He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What's the will of God? His Word. That's what He does. He goes to the Word and He intercedes based on that for us. So you don't need to pray the problem anymore. Pray the answer. That's how you stay in faith. Because your prayers will undo what you're standing in faith for. Because you don't know how to pray. And I say to people, and I've stopped for years, all-night prayer meetings and those sort of things, because there's too much unbelief prayed. And I say, let's pray in tongues. Let's pray in tongues. Let the Holy Spirit intercede on behalf of us. He knows what we need. So don't mess it up. And like we spoke about last week, the children of Israel going around the walls of Jericho. They weren't allowed to say one thing at all those 7 days. Because if they had, there would have been all these thoughts that were coming to them during those times. What in the world are we doing? You know, we've got no plans, no structure. Nothing's going to work. All He wants us to do is shout at the end of those 7 days. But let's meditate that word. Let's get it in our heart. Meditate what God's promises are for us. And then we can let that shout go when we're fully persuaded. See, if you go to God with the problem, you've canceled your faith straight away, because you're calling things that is or that are. So just confess the promise of God from His Word. That's what you need to do. Don't ever call things that are. So when you go to God and say, Lord, I'm so sick. I've got this issue. You're calling in what is already here. You're calling in the problem. You've got to go to God's Word and say, no, Lord, I thank You that by Your stripes I'm healed. And I don't care what the symptoms say. And you shouldn't care what the symptoms say, because your body has to respond to Your words. You're the highest authority. Your body's not the highest authority. Your spirit is. And so that's what you start declaring. You dig into the word and you get that out and you declare it out. Speak it out loud. Declare it. See, faith or now faith is the substance, the title deed of things desired. Did you hear that? The things desired. Not the things that you necessarily need. It's things desired. What do you desire? In other words, the things that you're hoping for. What are you hoping for? What is it that you're hoping for? Oh, it's good to hope for things because without faith, it's hard to please God. Is that what the word says? Without faith, it's hard to please God. It's impossible. So Hebrews 11:6 says this, but without faith, it's impossible. There's no way that you can please God without faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. He rewards us with things we desire. You've got to get an understanding in our mind that God wants to get things to us. He's desperate to get them to us. He's prepared them, he's made them, he's created them. They're there for us in heavenly places, just waiting for us to take them. And nobody's hoping, nobody's desiring, or very few are. I can tell you, I've sensed there's some people right now and who's hearing this, that there's desire is arising for things that they can't see. And they're going to get it. They're going to transfer it from that realm into this realm. But it takes diligence, and we've got to diligently seek him for it. How desperate are you to get things in your life? So you have to come to God and diligently seek him, knowing that he wants to reward you and give you whatever things you ask when you pray. You might say, are you sure, Pastor Michael? Whatever things you ask for? Well, it's not me saying, let's see what the word says. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask. That's what it says there. Whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Whatever things you ask. God didn't pre-qualify this saying, no, hang on, it's not whatever, I didn't really mean that. I just meant just a few things. No, whatever things. Things. Who can name a few things? I mean, houses, okay, that's a thing. Yeah, any other things that you can think of that might come into this area? Overseas trips, yeah. Yeah, that's a thing. Is healing a thing? Homes are a thing? Debt-free is the thing? I would say to you, whatever thing you desire. Now, let's go back to Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Verse 1. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for. Things hoped for. The evidence, the title deed of things not seen. See, faith is a substance, the title deed of things hoped for. The evidence of things you can't see, that's not manifested yet. You can't see it. Nobody else can see it. What you're believing for. What you're hoping for. Nobody else can see that. All they can see is the opposite. All they can see is the debt. All they can see is the business not sold. All they can see is those things that you're hoping for. So when you go around declaring that this is what I'm believing for, nobody else can see it. But you have to. You've got to see it in the spiritual realm. You've got to declare it and manifest it. So you do it by your words. See, that's why you need the title deed that's based on God's word. See, I can't go around saying, well, I'm just hoping that I'm going to get $1 million. Well, what am I basing that on? Am I basing on that I'm, you know, got a bit of a stake in the lottery or whatever? You know, because that's what the world does. They said 1 in 3 Australians went into that Powerball or whatever it was, hoping. But their hope was based on nothing. There was no foundation for that hope. But if you go to the Word of God and say, Lord, I'm a tither, I sow, and based on that, I'm claiming 100-fold. Amen. I've got something to base it on. I can go to God in the Word, and He's obligated to His Word. So I just don't go around saying, oh, Lord, I'd like $1 million. No, you've got to have something based on His Word so I can have the authority to go to Him in that area. I'll make this statement. I've got this statement up for you. Faith is the ability to conceive God's Word. I want you to hear that. Faith is the ability to conceive God's Word. What is conception? Conception is when you receive something, and for women, it's receiving a seed, and so they conceive, and conception takes place, and what happens? A child is born. Right? Faith is the ability to conceive God's Word. See, we have to conceive God's Word. God's words have to get into our heart, into our spirit, so that conception can take place, and out of the conception, there's a manifestation. Something's born out of that thing that's in our heart. It's a seed that's gone and that becomes a tree and produces fruit in our life. See, something for something to be manifest in the natural has to be first conceived in the spirit. It has to be conceived in your spirit. That's what it's all about. Conception in your spirit so it can happen in the natural. First the spirit, then the natural in this area. See, last week I spoke about the fact that sometimes you should not say things to help you speak words of faith. And we said that faith in Romans 10:17 says, now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if faith comes by hearing, therefore faith increases by hearing. Would that be true? Would that be true? When the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, give us more faith, what did he say? Faith's like a seed. It's like a tree. And they wanted more faith, and he was getting them back to how you get faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word. So more hearing, more faith. So if you want more, I would say, study, declare, listen to what the word says. More and more. I'd say to people, you should be listening to one message a day to get your faith stirred up. Get it boiling. Get it happening. And I would say faith increases by hearing. Faith decreases by not hearing. Yeah, by not hearing the word. By your attention going somewhere else. So if your attention is on something else, then you're not hearing the word. So if you're not hearing the word, then faith is actually leaking out. So faith has to be now, it has to be present, it has to be active. So I cannot rely upon the faith I had when I first got saved. I can't rely upon the faith that I had when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Because they all take faith. See, salvation takes faith. I have to, by faith are you saved, through grace. Right, it's by faith. So I took a step of faith when I asked Jesus to come in my life as a 5-year-old. It took faith. The same way when I, at the age of 7, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, it was a step of faith. Because, you know, I was put off by one gentleman who was in his 40s, and he said, I've been waiting for 18 years to get filled with the Holy Spirit, young fella. I thought, how hard could it be? I thought, I've been in this for a long time. The age of 7. Great encouragement he was. I think he died not being filled with the Holy Spirit because he just didn't have faith. It takes faith. Everything in the spiritual realm takes faith. But I can't rely upon that. I have to renew my faith. I've got to exercise it. I've got to activate it. I've got to work it. It's active. I can't rely upon what I did last year. You know, if I believe for something, I've got to keep on. I want to show you this account, really how practically this worked. And I want to speak about a man who had faith, but he let it slip over the years. And so that's the same thing. I want to challenge you today because you've got to renew your faith. And go to Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, it was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah. There were a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they both were righteous before God and walked in all the commands and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now, I want you to stop there for a minute. Now, they were both righteous and blameless before the Lord, and they had been pleasing to the Lord, and we know that without faith it's impossible to please God. So I would say that right off the bat, that these two were men and women of faith. They had faith because they were pleasing to God. They were blameless before Him. There was no way that they could, there was any blame on their life. They were in ministry. And they recognized the call in their life and their ministry. In fact, Elizabeth was a descendant of Aaron, the first priest of Israel. Her direct descendant was Aaron. They were in the priesthood. Not only that, they were called and they knew that they were called. So here they are. But verse 7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. When it says well advanced, I mean as well, you know. So when somebody's advanced in years, well, okay, they're getting in the midlife crisis at the age of 60 or something like that. But these are well advanced in years. So they're going to be in their late 80s, well advanced in years. So it was while he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the reason why they drew lots, because in one sense, if Israel had been sinning, the one who went in would actually end up dying probably. So it was a bit of a, you'd take lots for that. So it wasn't really good, a great job. So it was, verse 10, the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. The reason why the people were praying, because they didn't want him to die. They were praying for him that, you know, everything would be okay. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right hand of the side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Obviously, he'd never seen an angel before. So hands up if you've seen an angel. No one? Okay, well, it's the same for him. He was a bit troubled. Why? Is it my time? You know, it was a bit like I was at a dinner a week ago, and a bit over a week ago, and we're just right near the old hospital in Newcastle, and we're overlooking the beach there. And one of the guys said, you know, there was, during that earthquake that we had in Newcastle, said there was people in an operation, and one guy was a bikie, he was in the middle of an operation, and when the earthquake happened, they just evacuated everyone out onto the beach. And so his recovery was on the beach. And when he came to, he looked around, he said, it's just like Earth. He thought he died and went to heaven, you know, and he said, it's just like Earth, you know. So there you go. Maybe he thought his time was up and the angel was there to escort him to heaven. I don't know. But he was in fear and it fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. That's interesting. God heard his prayer and his wife's prayer. And your wife Elizabeth will bear a son and you shall call him John. It's interesting. I said several weeks ago, I think it was in part two of the series, that angels are assigned as ministering spirits to minister to you, to go and get things based on your confession out of that supernatural realm into the realm right now. That's what they're there to do. But they can only respond to your words based on faith. See, when you have words of doubt, they can't do a thing for you. So when you're declaring the word, that releases them to go and get it. So if your word is a word of faith based on God's word, that releases them to go and do what they're ministering there to do. They're ministering spirits. Their job is to get stuff for you.
That's right.
So don't think it magically just comes out of heaven. They go and get it. That's their job. So they can hear and they can see faith. They can see it. Because faith is a spiritual force and they're spiritual beings. They can see the force of faith. And when we and they're released into action when we declare things with faith. So Zacharias and Elizabeth were chosen because of their faith to be important parents to the greatest prophet known up until that time. John was to be the greatest prophet up to that time. The word tells us that. They were chosen because of their faith, because of what they were going to input into their child. Let's go back to verse 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." Now, it may not sound that bad a statement, but straight away, the angel detected that the faith that Zacharias once had now gone. It just disappeared. This was a statement based on unbelief. He could not believe it because he was an old man and his wife was an old girl. Could not believe it. But fortunately, there was one who was still in faith, and that was Elizabeth. She hadn't lost that hope. She hadn't lost that desire. It was still as strong today as it was when she was probably 17 years of age when she would have got married. She was hoping then, and she was even fully more convinced because she knew the prophetic nature of what God was doing. And see, God's plan was, the word of God was to be made flesh, and it would not be stopped by his lack of faith. This was a strategic thing that God had set up. God was setting up for this prophet to be on the earth to make way, the way straight for Jesus to enter. And because of his lack of faith, it was not going to be stopped because of that, because Elizabeth's faith was strong. So we take it up in verse 19. And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel." So this wasn't his personal angel. This was Gabriel, who stood in the presence of God Almighty. He was the one who was the oracle, the one that would come and declare things. He said, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. I was sent to speak to you and bring these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." So God's word will be performed. It will be performed in its right time. See, Zechariah's question was one that was based on doubt and unbelief. So God had to shut his mouth so there would not be any more negative words spoken out. You could imagine if God hadn't shut his mouth, he would have gone and said, "I don't know what that was. You know, it may have been an angel. I don't know what it was. It could have been just the pizza last night or whatever, but I don't know. And man, I'm pretty tired now. I'm ready to retire. I don't know if I could put up with a little kid running around and changing nappies at my age." You know, all those sort of things he could have been saying. I mean, I could think of a thousand things to say at that age. You know, I would have said, "God, how come you couldn't have done this 40, 50 years ago? When I had a bit of strength, now I'm just ready to put the feet up, you know, and go caravanning around Australia or something, you know, but now you want to give me a child now? What a bad idea." So there's just so many things that he could have said, but he could not. So it was based on Elizabeth's confession alone now. Her faith was strong. His was weak. Once it was strong, once he believed it and he declared it and he prayed it, because God heard the prayer. But now it had gone. So his mouth was shut. Couldn't say a thing. For 9 months, Zacharias could not say a single word. And the only way he could communicate was to get a little tablet, not one of my tablets, but a little tablet with a bit of chalk or something on there, and he would write down the things that he wanted. And when Elizabeth finally gave birth, 8 days after they had the circumcision, and at that time, they would name the baby. And all the relatives and the friends came around, and they for sure thought he would be called Zach too. You know, it was Zach Jr. You know, that was the thing. What the father's name, you would take that name. And so Elizabeth said, no, his name will be John. And they were shocked. They all turned to Zacharias, you know, do you want this to happen that way? You know. And so he asked for a tablet and he wrote on this tablet saying, his name will be John. See, for 9 months, he meditated on the word of that angel, the word of God. For 9 months, he meditated that. He couldn't say a word. He meditated that. He thought about that. And it got so big in his life and his heart that he declared, his name will be John. And the moment he said, he wrote that, his tongue was loose, his mouth was open, because the force of faith had now been activated. He was healed by what his faith did. He needed healing. There's no doubt. He was a mute. But he had to activate faith to release healing in his life. And the moment he declared that, and what he wrote, faith came. It was released. His mouth was open. And it's interesting. I would encourage you to read this. No, I'm not going to read it today for time. But he was instantly filled with the Holy Spirit. And he spoke an amazing, accurate, prophetic word out of his mouth as a result. The first thing he said was a great prophecy that set the pattern for what would happen to his son. And I'd encourage you to read that and be encouraged about the force of the prophetic word that came out as a result of faith. And all was released by faith. See, prophecy comes by releasing your faith. And that's what happened. Healing came as he released his faith, and prophecy came as well. Amazing prophecy. Now let's look at verse 26 of that same chapter. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, who was sent by God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among men, among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was, thinking to herself, I'm only a young person. I haven't done any great things. You know, and here the angel is declaring that I'm a blessed person. You know, I've got all these things. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Then 34, then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I don't know a man? See, her question was a little different. She said, how can this be? I don't have any husband. I don't have any way naturally to have conception take place in the natural. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And you should understand that. You should declare that. With God, nothing is impossible. There's not one thing that's impossible. Your healing is not impossible. Whatever things you're desiring is not impossible. There's not one thing you could put up that God would say that's impossible. Now, with Elizabeth, it was impossible in the natural. It was impossible for her to conceive a child. It was impossible for Mary to have a child without a husband. But here with God, nothing is impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. See, that she declared that. She spoke it out. Let it be according to the word of God. I'm aligning myself. I'm giving myself to that. See, she had the question too, but it was not one of doubt or unbelief like Zacharias was. See, her words was, let it be according to your word, which produced pregnancy in her. It was conceived first in her heart. She had to believe it in her heart that it was a true word from God. And then when she declared, let it be, conception take place in her spirit. That's where it took place. And then it was manifest in the flesh. See, the word sown in her heart by the Holy Spirit and confessed out of her mouth was a thing that produces the Son of God. Mary then, full of the word of God, acted in faith and went quickly. It says quickly. That means pretty well that same day she just departed with the word of God in her life. And she went to see her relative Elizabeth. And we pick it up in verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to the city of Judah. And she entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which are told her from the Lord. Blessed is she who believed. The key was, she's been blessed because she believed. And you're blessed when you believe. Do you know that, just in conclusion, do you know that it's that God's faith is so powerful, it's impossible for him to lie. It's so powerful, it's impossible for him to lie. See, if God spoke to us audibly, if he decided to speak audibly to us today and say, today is Wednesday, we would just look around and say, what are we doing here? Why aren't you at work? It's Wednesday. It's impossible for God to lie. Because when he declares something, it happens. So if he said it was Wednesday, today we'd be saying, how did we get here today? You know, did you miss work? Did you call in sick? Or what was the... But he would change the day. And this is what Numbers 23 and verse 19 says. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make good? So if God's promises to you are that you're healed, he's obligated to his word. All you've got to do is believe. All you have to do is believe and then you'll receive. See, if his word is true, I don't care what the doctor says, I don't care what the bank says, as far as I'm concerned, they're all lying because they contradict what the word of God says. If the doctor says that you have this illness or you got this situation, it's a lie compared to what the word of God says when the word of God says you're healed. So you can either believe what the doctor says, believe that report, or you can believe what the word of God says. It's about time we started believing what the word of God says. And you call the other thing a lie. The other thing has to be a lie because God is not a liar. It's impossible for him to lie. So you've got to take the promise of God and say, that's for me, I'm going to believe that. See, Mary could have said, well, I don't know how this could happen. I'm not really married yet. I don't have a man. This can't happen to me. But she chose to believe God, and then conception took place. The word of God says, by his stripes you are healed. When the doctor's telling you what he can see in the natural, which is subject to change, someone lying. It's not God. It's not his word. And then Romans 3 and verse 4 says, certainly not, indeed, let God be true and every man a liar. As it is written, that you are justified by your words that you may overcome when you are judged. So you'll be justified by the words of your faith and you'll overcome when you are judged by the doctor, your family, your friends, the bank statement. See, they're all going to try and judge you. These things are going to come and try and judge you because you're standing in faith and you'll be justified by your words. If your words align up with the word of God, it doesn't matter what or who judges you. You stand on the word of God. you'll overcome, it says, when you're judged. When those things come at you, you'll overcome. When you declare, no, I don't care what my body feels like. I don't care what the symptoms are trying to judge me at. I'm going to declare that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I've been healed. I am healed. So you'd be justified by your words. But here's the key to the law of confession. Joshua 1:8 says this, "The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." That means it shouldn't. You should be declaring this all the time. Every day, get your confession out on the Word of God and declare it. Speak it out every day. Don't let it depart out of your mouth, but meditate it in it day and night, and you'll observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Now, the word meditate here is translated from the Greek word, which is H-A-G-A-H, which means to utter or mutter, to roar, to speak, to study, to talk, and to utter. It's got all those words wrapped up in that word to meditate. Meditate is not just Now, meditate is an active, powerful thing to declare, to speak, to utter, to roar. That's what you need to do. Get those confessions based on God's word for what you believe and let it rip. That's what to meditate is. Romans 10:8 says this, but what does it say? The word is near you, it's in your mouth and in your heart. That's the word of faith which you preach. It has to be in both places. It has to be in your mouth so it can get in your heart. That's the key. Church, we have to get active with our faith and send it out so the angels can get busy performing what God's word, what you've spoken out in you and confessed by you. Don't grow lazy in your faith. But activate again today by start calling those things that you desire and you want them in your life. Now I want you to stand up with me. And we're going to do some practical declaration this morning in closing. Stand up with me. Come on. It's going to be easy for you to declare this here. So on the count of three, we're going to start reading this and declaring it out of our mouth. And do it with faith, believing and receiving this. 1, 2, 3. In the name of Jesus, I am a believer. I believe God's word. I am what the word says I am. I have what the word says I have. I can do what the word says I can do. In Jesus' name, I render ineffective every negative word I've spoken, every negative thing I've thought, and every word and thought that's been contrary to the truth of God's word. From this moment forward, I will acknowledge only the good things that are in me in Christ Jesus. I am saying it now. Out of the good treasure of my heart, only good things will come to pass. I am the righteousness of God, a new creation, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus. I've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated in the kingdom of God's dear Son. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed from the curse of the law, redeemed from sickness and disease, poverty and death. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. Since a greater one dwells within me, I can overcome every situation. The faith of God resides in me, and through it I have the victory that overcomes the world. This is my year for breakthrough. It's my time now. I thank you, Father, that I have all these things. I believe it in my heart. I've released it with my mouth. So be it. It will surely come to pass in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, when you start declaring confessions like that over your situation, based on the Word of God, based on what He's told you to do, your angels get excited. Your angels get so excited because they've been doing nothing up to. Your angels have not been doing anything up to this time. And they want to get your things. They want to get things that you desire, and they want to get it happening now. Not next year, right now. This is what you want right now. Get busy about declaring things over you and see this situation change. Let conception happen. And get pregnant with the Word of God. Dust off those things that He's told you before and start again to declare Him with the... Don't look at your age. Don't look at your situation. Right? Because God never looked at those things. He chose people that it was actually impossible for. He looked for the ones that would not look rely upon their own flesh anymore. I mean, if Zacharias and Elizabeth could have had John back that 20, 40 years ago, it wouldn't have been a great thing. They probably would have messed it up because it was the right time. He was in the right time, and the prophetic thing was released to that day. So I believe that some prophetic things going to release over your life. It's going to happen. I believe it. Hey, let's just close with that song. And take that confession, meditate these things, and believe it.